From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, July 2nd, 2026. Two adults in Lewiston were shot in the face last night by a teenager with what police believe was a pellet gun. The incident comes in the wake of a public meeting on gun violence. Maddie Smith has more.
Lewiston police say a 60-year-old man and a 34-year-old woman were shot in separate locations in the city by a passenger in an SUV that pulled up alongside them. Police say the male victim is in stable condition, but the female victim remains in serious condition. Using the city of Lewiston's camera system and Flock technology, police say they quickly identified the suspected vehicle and determined that 18-year-old Ahmed Youssef of Lewiston was the alleged shooter. Youssef has been charged with two counts of aggravated assault and reckless conduct. The shootings come just days after the city of Lewiston held a public meeting to discuss a recent wave of gun violence amongst juveniles. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Maddie Smith.
Despite this week's extreme heat, drought conditions in Maine continue to slowly improve thanks to recent rainfall. According to the U.S. Drought Monitor, much of Down East is now free of drought conditions, and much of the Midcoast has been downgraded from a moderate drought to the lowest status, abnormally dry. But most of York County is still in a moderate drought. The executive director of the Maine Republican Party plans to step aside later this year after more than a decade in the job. But as Kevin Miller reports, Jason Savage says he plans to stay involved in Maine politics.
Jason Savage was hired as executive director at the Maine GOP 13 years ago after working on former Governor Paul LePage's first campaign and his spinoff political group. The party has seen both highs and lows during that time. But Savage says he believes it's in good shape as it aims to regain control of the statehouse and reelect Senator Susan Collins this November.
So we're going to do a transition. I'm staying on as senior advisor for a period of time until everybody feels comfortable. And I'm excited for where the party is. You know, when I took over, it was in pretty rough shape. And now it's well-funded, fully staffed, organized, has all the assets it needs for the candidates.
Savage says he plans to form a right-of-center consulting group with three other well-established political operatives in Maine, Josh Tardy, Riley Plock, and Damian La Rochelle. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Maine Democratic Congresswoman Shelley Pingree introduced a bill this week to reverse a U.S. Supreme Court ruling in favor of pesticide manufacturers like Monsanto. Monsanto is currently facing thousands of lawsuits from people who claim its weed killer Roundup is linked to cancer. The court ruled the Environmental Protection Agency is the only entity that can require a cancer warning on a product label, effectively shielding companies from state-level claims. But Pingree said her bill, which has bipartisan support, would allow consumers to sue companies over health concerns.
People in Maine care about what's in their food, and I actually hear that echoed nationally. But with rising cancer rates and more, you know, issues related to our health overall, people are really focusing on this issue.
Pingree has introduced similar measures in the draft farm bill. Her efforts have been supported by Kentucky Representative Thomas Massey and other Republicans who support the Make America Healthy Again agenda. A Biddeford man drowned in Sebattis Pond yesterday after his kayak tipped over, according to the Maine Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife. Department officials say 29-year-old Mateo Franco Cifuentes was not wearing a personal flotation device when his kayak tipped last night. They say Cifuentes did not know how to swim. Several others on the lake attempted to help him to shore but were unable to, according to police. Another bystander recovered Cifuentes' body several minutes after he went under. Emergency personnel attempted to resuscitate him on shore but were unsuccessful, and he was declared dead at the scene. The National Park Service has announced that in honor of America's 250th birthday, there will be free entry to all national parks Friday, July 3rd through Sunday, July 5th. At Acadia National Park, a vehicle reservation is still required to drive to the top of Cadillac Mountain from mid-May to mid-October. Reservations provide a timed entry and must be purchased online in advance. Regional grid operator ISO New England is urging people to limit their energy use this evening as temperatures are expected to reach the upper 90s in many parts of Maine. ISO New England says the region should be able to meet anticipated demand for electricity, but there's little surplus capacity to deal with unanticipated events. Consumers are being asked to limit their energy use between 4 and 8 p.m. when demand for electricity is typically highest. ISO New England says keeping blinds and curtains closed and using major appliances during other times of the day can help reduce stress on the grid. Invasive green crabs have been present in Maine's inshore waters for over a century. Now, as those waters warm, their populations are exploding, and they are taking over underwater habitat that is critical for native eelgrass and shellfish. But as Molly Enking reports, efforts are underway to both curb the number of green crabs and also find commercial markets for the species.
At Wolf's Neck Farm and Campground in Freeport, a group of 30 or so volunteers are tromping through the mud flats at low tide, buckets in hand. Their goal is to get as many green crabs out of the environment as possible in 1 hour. It's called a green crab derby. Volunteers flip over rocks and rake through seaweed with their bare hands. Rachel Wheeler, who's up from North Carolina camping with friends, brought her young daughter along.
Her name's Charlie, and we're going for the gold.
There will be prizes for biggest crab, most crabs, and most softshell green crabs found. Kate Masery has found a pregnant female, which can carry up to 180,000 eggs.
That could be a contender for biggest.
I know. Yeah, and most.
Or dragon most.
And most, yeah.
Originally brought across the Atlantic Ocean in the 1800s by merchant ships, green crabs are now a real threat to the ecosystem. Warming waters due to climate change are allowing the population to explode, destroying habitat and eating shellfish like softshell clams and wild mussels. The Derby is part of Green Crab Week, a regional summit at which stakeholders from all over the country share research and possible strategies for controlling species.
I don't think that we're ever going to be able to eradicate green crabs.
Marissa McMahon is Senior Fisheries Director at Manomet, the Massachusetts-based conservation group.
We're really at a place now where it's like they're here and they're here to stay, and we should figure out ways to benefit from them.
One way is to cook them.
This is what crabs are used for. The green crabs are used for in Europe primarily, is making stock.
Green crabs are commonly eaten in other parts of the world, says David Sandridge, owner of the Shipwright's Daughter restaurant in Mystic, Connecticut. Prepping for a cooking demo at the Green Crab Summit in Portland, he asks, why don't we?
They're actually highly sought after by the best chefs. In Milan, they're a delicacy. It's not like some weird thing that no one eats anywhere that we're trying to get people to eat.
Standard says his restaurant just passed a milestone, 10,000 pounds of green crabs used in the last 5 years. He says it's a staple for crab stock, crab oil, and other dishes when he wants a punch of seafood umami flavor.
We have a really unique opportunity as a chef to influence the food system because we can influence both sides. We can influence the customer base and develop markets by introducing them to new products. And then we can in turn influence the supply side by getting our suppliers to carry those products or getting people to fish for those species.
But Standridge and McMahon agree. At the current rate of demand, it's unlikely we're going to eat our way out of the green crab problem. Sam Cheney of Millbridge, Maine, has turned to green crab fertilizer. He sells what he calls the green kraken at farmers markets.
The crab meal is what I like to say is meat and potatoes for your garden. It's bulk nutrients. So there's lots of nitrogen, lots of phosphorus. It's high in calcium, and it's got lots of trace minerals in it because it's from the ocean.
Cheney says the goal is to scale up to commercial sales, but he still has a long way to go. Back at Wolf's Neck, the Derby's grand prize went to 3 seventh grade farm campers who collected 17 crabs. And the prize for biggest crab went to Eli Gladstone from northern British Columbia. It wasn't his first rodeo, though. He says he's attended green crab derbies at home, where they're also battling the invasives.
My mom actually teaches kindergarten, and even all her little kids, they all know what a green crab is, and they go on field trips to the beach, and they want to kill them. So I think that there's a lot of awareness in the community that way.
All the specimens collected will be disposed of or composted. Though someone from Texas headed off with a large softshell green crab, planning to fry it up in cornmeal that evening. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Molly Enking.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, a new biography of former Governor Ken Curtis. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.